We welcome you to week three of our sermon series titled Living Witnesses. And whether we like it or not, my life and your life is a witness of your faith. And so ask yourself, what kind of witness are you? Are you leading people to Christ, or are you leading people away from Christ? Too often, as Christians, we have failed to call sin, sin. We have failed to hold each other accountable to God's standards. And a lot of this has to do with this phrase, "Thou shall not judge." When people say this, they say it's like a commandment, but it's not one of the Ten Commandments. It's not even scripture, to be honest with you. It does not say that anywhere in the Bible. They are often thinking of this passage in Matthew. From Matthew 7, it says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and the measure you use it will be measured to you." We need to understand in this passage just what it is Jesus means about judgment. Because let's face it, we judge people all the time, don't we? Every Sunday you judge my sermon. And as you're walking out, I'm judging you for lying about it. Nice sermon, Pastor. Glad to be gone. When we talk about judging, we're not saying that we don't hold people accountable. A lot of people like to say, well, what someone does is between them and God. That's not what Jesus is talking about here, because it is not just between them and God. Sin matters. And if we are going to go and make disciples, we must talk about sin, and we must talk about consequences. So what does Jesus mean here when he says you should not judge? Unless you be judged, right? The word judge here is referring to God's eternal judgment. You and I have no right to pronounce God's judgment on anyone. You and I cannot condemn someone to hell. The final authority for final judgment is reserved for God and God alone. That's what Jesus is talking about here. You do not have God's authority. You cannot condemn someone's heart. You cannot judge somebody's heart. You do not have the right to determine who's of faith and who's not in the way God does. So when we continue with a passage, we're very familiar with this passage. Jesus says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye?" And Jesus says, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." As living witnesses, we are first called to acknowledge our own shortcomings. And if we are unwilling to address our sin, how can we help another person with their sin? If our lives are not being changed, if our lives are not being transformed by the Word of God, then how can we expect to lead others to the same grace that we profess? So Jesus says, yes, get your life straightened out. Doesn't mean you have to be perfect, but just the acknowledgement that you are a work in process, that God is dealing with your sin, and you know it's sin and you own it, is a big deal. And as Christians, the Bible is very clear time and time again that we have a responsibility not to judge each other, but to hold each other accountable. And from our primary scripture today, if you notice, the sermon series is based around this passage in Colossians 3, it says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another." This is a very profound statement from Paul. And we're going to focus on the first part, which is the message of Christ dwell in your heart. The message of Christ is everything. The message of Christ is central to who we are. The message of Christ needs to dwell in our hearts. And the message of Christ is not just the Gospels. The message of Christ is the Old Testament. Listen to how God said the message should dwell in our hearts. From Deuteronomy 6, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing in the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. They need to dwell richly in your soul, and this is how you're to do it. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That is the message of Christ. It's supposed to be every part of our being, from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed. Everything about how we live and everything we do should be focused on the love and the message of Jesus Christ. And the message of Christ is the Old Testament and the New Testament. And from the very familiar verse of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And all too often, we just stop there. But what he says after that is so important. He says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the verdict, the judgment. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The message of Christ is about God's love for us. The message of Christ is about our response to that love. The message of Christ is about living for our God, about living in the light, about rejecting our sin and darkness. The message of Christ is a message that has saved us, and it should dwell in our hearts. The message of Christ should lead us and guide us in all that we do. We must live by God's standards and not the world's standards. And together we have a special calling. We need to let the message of Christ dwell richly among us as we teach and admonish one another. You see, we have a responsibility to hold each other accountable. Paul wrote this to Timothy, again, another familiar verse, 2 Timothy 3:14. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." In In verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have to hold each other accountable. I know we don't like to judge people, but what does it say? Teach, rebuke, correct, and train. That means we have to address our individual sin and our sin within the church before we can go and be witnesses. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but it means we're allowing God to do the work to change us. And this isn't just Paul's message. This was the message from Jesus Christ, and hardly anybody likes to preach on this one. This is Matthew 18, verse 15. It says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. Don't make a public spectacle of it yet. Go to them and say, brother, sister, I think what you've done here is not right. And if they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And if they still refuse to listen, right? Hey, I got a couple other people with me and I'm not the only one seeing this. You need to change. And if they still refuse to listen, then tell it to the whole church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. That means you give them the boot. That's the reality of the church that Jesus Christ has called us to be. See, most churches are so starved for people that if you walk in the door and you're breathing, you could be on the administrative council next week. But the reality is, in the early church, it took sometimes 3 years before you could receive church membership, receive baptism and your first communion, and learn the words to the Apostles' Creed. You would spend 3 years of test and trying to make sure that your heart was right, that you're not just joining the group because everybody else is joining the group. You're joining the group because you know who Jesus is, you know what the Scriptures are, and you understand what the calling is going to be. And in the history of our church, whether it be the United Brethren, the Evangelical, or the Methodist, they all had accountability groups. Wesley called them bands, where you'd have 3 to 4 people together of the same gender that would meet regularly to confess their sins and hold each other accountable. And when people held each other accountable, when they gathered together in these bands, and when they gathered together in greater groups called class meetings, the church grew because they were Spirit-filled people that fought sin and lifted each other up. It wasn't about judging. It wasn't about criticizing. It wasn't about gossiping. It was about all of us wanting to serve God and love God our very best. And brother, if you see me step out of line, you correct me. And if I see you step out of line, sister, I'm going to correct you. This is a long way from believing that we should not judge. So we have to be careful when we say judge, because it means something different today in our language. We judge pizza, right? We judge a restaurant. We do things. But we're talking about we cannot profess condemnation or God's judgment on someone, but we can hold people accountable. Because sin is destructive. Sin limits what God can do through us. Sin destroys our unity as a church. We saw that happen a few years ago in our own denomination. Some of you have been part of churches that have split over stupid things like the color of the carpet or the walls. And sin tarnishes our witness. If we live like the world and act like the world, we can't change the world. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. This is something we need to take to heart. And next week we'll look at the second half of this verse. The full verse is this: let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. See, our worship, our fellowship is a key part of our accountability, where our focus is on God, where our focus is on the Holy Spirit, where our focus is on His Word and on the hymns and the things that lift Him up and give Him glory. We must take sin seriously if we are going to accomplish the mission of Jesus, right? Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and not just getting converts, but teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. If we're going to share the message of salvation, if we are going to make disciples, then we must be living witnesses that are not afraid to call sin, sin. Because remember, we are either leading people toward Christ or leading people away from Christ. Now, there's a lot of good and bad, especially about social media. But the one thing that I think is very bad is the way many Christians act. And I've had to call some of my brothers and sisters out. I'll send them a direct message, a private message, saying, listen, what you're saying and what you're professing here is ungodly. It's not right. It's not up to us to propagate lies. It's not for us to publicly bash and destroy people. I dare you to look at your last 20 posts on social media. And if you want to know where your heart is, look at what your social media feed is feeding you. I get a lot of feeds about John Deere tractors because I clicked on a couple. I love farming and tractors. I get a lot of that. But I get a lot of other things that make me think, am I following the right things? Because their algorithms are seeing what you click on and what you post about and what they think is important to you. And that's what they're going to put in their feed. So if you want a measure of a living witness, look at your social media feed. Because it's going to try to feed you more of the same stuff you love. And that's the work of Satan. I'm not saying Facebook or the other platforms are Satan themselves. Sometimes we can argue that. But what I'm saying is, what you're being fed and what Satan wants to feed you corrupts you. And how we act and how we live, what we say here, what we say at lunch, what we say to our friends, what we post on social media, all of these things are a part of our witness. And are we sinning? Are we being holy? Are we representing God? Because we're either leading people towards Christ or we're leading people away from Christ. There is no in between. Nothing is in between. You're either leading people to Christ or away from Christ. And for us, that can start with accountability. We need to have accountability with one another. And you can't be offended when somebody comes to you and say, you know, I heard you say something the other day and I'm just a little concerned about it. Because what's our first thing? What? No, not me. You know, or I had every right to be angry. I had every right to do what I do. And we like to be, but you know what? It's not about you. It's about your witness for God. And here today we have an opportunity to make our hearts right with God. We have an opportunity to come to the altar, to come to the table and say, God, I'm not right. God, I need your help. I need your grace. I need your love. I need your power. Correct me, shape me, and form me in a way that I become a powerful witness for you so that others can experience the same salvation that I have. They can experience the same grace that I have been given. They get new life, eternal life. And that is something we should want to share with everyone. Think about your children, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your friends. Is there any one of them you don't want to lead to Christ? And if you said, oh, I don't know about so-and-so, it's time for confession, brothers. Time for confession, sisters. We need to be right. And we need to have a heart that loves God so much that we want others to have that same love, a reciprocal love. So as we gather here today, we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We remember that night of the Last Supper when he was teaching and sharing all these things with his disciples. And he took the loaf, gave thanks to God. He broke it, and he said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. And as the dinner went on, he then took the cup, and again he gave thanks to God. And he said, take and drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you will in remembrance of me. Christ's holy blood, shed for our sins. We have the greatest gift ever, the gift of salvation. And it should transform us into powerful, living witnesses for God. Let us pray. Mighty God, we have gathered here today for a worship service. And Lord, today, as best as we could, we have tried to honor you through our music, through our readings, through looking at your word. We honor you with our presence. And in this moment, we honor you with our hearts. Lord, we know in this life we may never reach the full image that you created us to be. We never may reach the level of perfection that we will one day be in the new heaven and new earth. But in this lifetime, Lord, we ask that you continue to mend and perfect and to change and to transform us. And Lord, we know that sin is a very powerful agent. And sin keeps us from having a full and powerful relationship with you. And so, Lord, we have set aside this time to come together and confess our sins to you. We've come to lift each other up and nurture and hold and prop each other up, even in our broken states. And we ask you to bring healing to our lives. And Lord, we confess to you for the commands that we have broken, for the times we have not fully loved you, for the times we have not fully loved each other, and for the times we have not even fully loved our enemies. Lord, forgive us for the unholy things that have come out of our mouths. Lord, forgive us for even the unholy thoughts that we dwelled upon. Lord, forgive us for the times that we have failed to share your message. We have failed to do your mission. We have failed to take care of the needy and the poor. And Lord, here in this moment, We just lay before you in silent confession all the ways that we have failed you. But Lord, we also do this with the knowledge that you are a good and loving and forgiving God. That through your Holy Scripture, we understand that when you give forgiveness, our sin has been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And although you may still hold us accountable and we may still have consequences of our sins, we can be forgiven. And when we are forgiven, we can be healed and transformed. We can grow and we can be nurtured. We can be taught and we can be held accountable. And we can live a devoted life leading others to Christ. And so by the full knowledge of your Scripture and by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pronounce that we have been forgiven. Lord, embolden our hearts. Inspire us in great ways that we have a desire to be living witnesses for you. Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to become a special presence for us today, that these no longer become simple elements of bread and juice, that they truly become your body and your blood, so that together as your church, we are one body redeemed by your blood for the transformation of this world. Lord, may we experience your love and grace today through this very moment. And may we leave here differently than when we came. May we be encouraged. May we feel loved. And may we feel emboldened to share your good news. All of this we pray and ask through your Holy Spirit in the full nature of your Holy Trinity. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. In all the things that we do, and I've said it time and time again, we're either leading people to Christ or leading people away from Christ. So as we come here together and think about all the things that lay out in front of us, whether it's our cruise in or other things that we do, what can you do every day to be a living witness? Because if your faith hasn't changed you, you can't expect your faith to change anybody else. But please don't underestimate the power you carry every day. Every day you encounter somebody that needs to know the good news of Jesus Christ. And will you be the living witness that leads them to Christ or leads them away from Christ? God has great and powerful things waiting for us. I believe that. But it's up to us to claim that. It's up to us to live that. So as we leave here today, claim that power. Claim the power of the Holy Spirit, because you can't change you. Oh, you can make New Year's resolutions, you can make commitments, and you can try all kinds of things, but you cannot change without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can be corrupted by Satan or changed by the Holy Spirit. I want us to change by the Holy Spirit. Let us leave here as God's good and holy people, fully forgiven, who freely serve our great God with love, willing to be living witnesses for him, so that others may share his grace and his love and the salvation that. Let us go forth now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit as his living witnesses. Amen.